Iran is a nation in constant conflict with the United States, whether it is in nuclear negotiations reaching a decision point this year or in the Persian Gulf where U.S. ships are watching for signs Iran is seeking to aid rebels in Yemen with weapon shipments. Being linked to the U.S. and Iran can be considered a crime. This week, a Washington Post reporter based in Tehran was officially charged with espionage after being in detention for 9 months. So what must it be like for a European to fall in love with an Iranian and get their paycheck from the great Satan, the USA, for the past 13 years?
It was so different for me to be here. And I think, yeah, I could have married a girl from the Dutch countryside. It would maybe would have been different. And maybe in many ways it would have been easier. But I'm happy I chose you.
Of course you should be.
Thomas Erdbrink is Tehran bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, speaking there with his Iranian wife, Nusha, a photographer and artist who he met and married while covering protests in 2002. Thomas is sharing his unique perspective on life inside the Islamic Republic of Iran in some short documentaries for The Times. His most recent, An Eye for an Eye, is about a woman who rejected a man who then blinded her with acid. After a long court battle, she was allowed to blind one of his eyes. Thomas Erdbrink says the literal eye-for-an-eye approach of Islamic law in Iran is rare to appear on video.
Filming in Iran is very complicated. You need a permit from the Ministry of Islamic Guidance and Culture, and they generally don't like to have foreign TV crews to spend too much time in the country. So we didn't have any time to research. I just had to draw from my older articles for the New York Times. So many of the characters that you see and many of the subjects that you see, for instance, the fact that women were not allowed to participate or in the viewing of volleyball matches because it would be un-Islamic, that's a story I did. And now I've brought it to life using different characters or, I mean, people who I interviewed, I should say.
And in this An Eye for an Eye installment, you're really talking about, you know, an example of Iran as far away from modernity as you can get, but also struggling with it, even in this seemingly barbaric story. Describe how you use this story as an example of just how Iran is caught in the middle.
Well, the Eye for an Eye story is first and foremost a story about Islamic law, and Islamic law is at the basis of the Islamic Republic. But at the same time, it's also a story about normal people and how the law works for them or against them. And in this case, a young woman, Amaneh, was thrown acid in her face. And under Islamic law, under this eye for an eye law, she was allowed to get retribution. She had to fight for years because the Islamic courts didn't accept her to be of the same value as a man. And what she demanded was actually quite bizarre for us. She demanded that her attacker would experience the same what had happened to her, namely that he would have had acid dropped in his face, in his eyes to be specific. So this all sounds very barbaric. At the same time, Amaneh is a young modern woman, basically a representative of those statistics I just spoke about, and she was struggling all throughout the process if she wanted to take revenge or give forgiveness. And, well, I don't want to give it away, but when the video airs, you'll be able to see what she ultimately decided. But it's very surprising, her decision. And it's also surprising that this Islamic law, under which hundreds of people are hanged every year, also offers this opportunity for the victim to directly forgive the perpetrator.
Thomas Erdbrink, in some ways, we see in this documentary, and it happens to be the case, that you've really thrown your lot in with Iranian society. You're a part of it more than a reporter who just parachutes in. How does that change or improve your insight into Iran as a journalist for The New York Times?
Well, that's, of course, a very, very valid point. And one could also say, have I gone too local? I do think that because Iran is such a close society and such an isolated country, it's not your average posting. It is not a country where you can come in and rotate for 4 years and then move on to another country. You need to learn the language. You need to develop your contacts. It all takes a long time. At the same time, Iran is a very dynamic country. Our reporting, look at what we discussed on the show. We would talk about Ahmadinejad and his denial of the Holocaust, and now we're talking about the nuclear case and a possible compromise in relations with the United States. So I always hope that the quick developments keep me fresh, and I of course very much depend on my editors at the New York Times to keep me in line and to keep me informed of what a Western audience finds interesting.
Is one of your editors, your wife, around the dinner table arguing about some of these issues that are real life issues for you and your family?
I think in every healthy marriage, a husband will also console with his wife. You know, the news doesn't allow itself to be channeled in by either the wishes of my wife or the Iranian authorities or sometimes even my editors. We should try and write it the way it is. And sometimes it's a positive story, but very often it's a very negative story coming out of Iran.
If we're to agree that what's really going to be happening in the next 5 years is some kind of emergence of Iran, what are the first things people are going to see about Iran that you notice every day as your experience as being Tehran's bureau chief, that in some sense these documentaries are trying to help us understand?
Well, I think they will see that for many, many, many years, the image of Iran has been dominated by Iran's hardliners, the fist-pumping, bearded people, black women in chadors that we have seen in the news basically day after day, year after year. At the same time, we will see that a very significant development has taken place in Iranian society. People have been modernizing much quicker, at a much quicker rate than many people in other countries in the region. And the statistics actually show that very well. Iran is a country where 70% of the people live in cities, so they're urban. 70% of the people is also under 35 years old. 60% of all university students are female. So these are all statistics that don't exist in many of the regional countries. And they are statistics that show that Iranian society, as the videos also show, is much more complex, forward-thinking, if you will, than many other countries around.
Thomas Erdbrink is Tehran bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, and you can watch his documentary series, Our Man in Tehran, at thenewyorktimes.com.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.